I think when you and I got married, we just assumed that we would combine checking accounts and share our money, right?
Yeah.
There was no like he money, she money or anything like that.
Well, it helps when you have none.
First of all.
That helps.
Or very little, because you want to share it all.
Well, I spent all my money getting you a nice fancy ring.
Yeah, right.
Just so I could seal the deal and then deal with the details later. I think that was our MO. Also, things like tithing, those sorts of questions were already kind of stuff that we agreed on.
Yeah.
But we have a question from a listener today that asks about those very issues that we do not agree on these things. How should we manage our finances?
Yeah, she's asking.
And there's a lot of kind of baked in beliefs there that they need to be articulated, they need to be understood biblically, not just based on whatever we can reason in our heads, but we need to hear what God has to say about money. Mm. And in particular, how that impacts our marriage in terms of how we find unity around it, how we seek God in it, and we structure our lives accordingly. So we're going to talk about that today on The Other Side. I often say Selena married me for my money.
Joke's on me. Joke's on me.
Gold digger.
You can't say that, and that song just goes in my head.
Well, you shouldn't be such a heathen about things.
But a gold digger.
Yeah, so we had nothing when we got married.
Living in water and sunshine.
Water and sunshine. I was a janitor, a master of the custodial arts.
One of two for a humongous building. So I'd say that's pretty important.
Excuse me. I was the only master of the custodial arts.
What about your friends?
Victor was the maintenance man.
Okay.
It's different. Goodness.
Buddies.
He was living high on the hog, preparing toilets while I was scrubbing floors.
You were scrubbing, he was fixing?
Yep, that's exactly right. Only in case of emergency do I get to help Victor.
I was a barista.
We had to deal with these issues, but we kind of got to grow in it together
because of
our marriage story.
Yeah.
So we'll hopefully untangle it. If you feel like it's not as clear for you, we're going to untangle some of that today and let God's word have the final word on this. But first, if you're not familiar with us and my snarky wife, this is Selena. Selena, Frederick. What?
It's our second take on this part.
Oh, whatever.
If you're not in the know.
Is that what you're trying to get?
If you're not in the know. No, because we don't have time for that. So keep moving on.
I'm Ryan. We're the Fredericks. We do the Fierce Marriage Podcast on Tuesdays. If you're a parent, we have the Fierce Parenting Podcast as well, where we give all our expert parenting advice. Every answer to every parenting question with zero humility and complete know-how. No, parenting's a lot different because, A, we've not been parents as long as we've been married, but also parenting is, I can say this, I don't generally believe in subjective things. Parenting is very subjective in that every household is different. God's truth is objective and weighing its and putting.
Okay.
Anyway,
husband going? Where is he leading us right now?
But like our kids are not your kids. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So you have to figure out how to apply God's objective truths to your subjective situation and Fierce Parenting hopefully helps with that. Check it out on Thursdays. All right. Also the Fierce Fellowship. You can be a part of how God is providing for this ministry. Mm. We are entirely listener supported, whether that's through the Fierce Fellowship or through those listeners who choose to purchase our books. That's how the Lord provides for us. So thank you for considering that. FierceMarriage.com/partner or find our books on our website. Okay. So we got another message from Selena's old friend, Anon.
If you know, you know. Do you want me to read it?
Sure.
My fiance and I are months away from getting married. I grew up in the church and just recently started to understand the importance of deepening my personal relationship with God, along with trusting him with my finances. I began tithing, but my fiance is newer in the faith. He believes in God and that Jesus died and rose again for our sins. However, he is hesitant on tithing. I believe for our future marriage and finances to be blessed, both of us should trust God with our finances and tithe. I wouldn't want to be the only one tithing. What should I do?
What should I do?
Mm, lots of questions here.
First of all, I want to say congratulations on your upcoming wedding. Seriously, I mean it. Because you're marrying somebody who says they believe in God and in Christ, that he died and rose again. That is the foundational thing.
Yeah.
So well done. That's awesome. And here's the kicker. Now you can grow in this. Like, he's not figured it out, but he can figure it out.
Right.
And this is where the rubber meets the road in terms of that belief that Jesus is who he said he was. that what he says is now going to be the reigning authority in my life
and in my marriage,
as opposed to just what I think is a good idea.
Yeah.
So I'm encouraged by the fact that you're starting on the foundation of Christ. I want to encourage you to firmly set yourself upon that foundation and encourage your fiance to do the same as you head into marriage, because frankly, none of this stuff will make sense unless you do that.
It's true. It's true.
Okay. So that's the first preamble. So with that, baked into this are a number of questions that we need to consider.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go through what the questions are and then we'll walk through each one.
Okay.
So the questions that I thought of in terms of as I was listening to this,
right. What would a listener be thinking?
We need to know, what does the Bible say?
Yeah. 100%.
Because the Fredericks, it doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter what you say, listener. It matters what God has to say about it. And we want to obey God. So we need to know what God says about tithing, about giving. We need to understand those things and apply them rightly. The second question is what I want to ask this listener is, what do you believe about giving and tithing? And then the reason we ask that question is we want to find ways.
Does it align or does it not align? Right.
We want to find out if it aligns or doesn't align. Mm-hmm. The third question is now, in light of that, how should we approach finances in our marriage? So there are oughts and then there are shoulds, and these come from scripture, and we need to correct our beliefs based on what scripture says and now apply that. That's the how.
Yeah.
And then finally, if you disagree on this, and it seems like you do currently, listener, how do you get on the same page?
Yeah.
How do you get on the same page? So let's go back up to the top. Let's talk about what does the Bible say about giving and tithing? So there's a number of principles at play here.
Yeah. And we grew into this, I think, in our own marriage, because we believed that tithing was 10%, right? I think we still believe that.
Nope,
we don't.
Well,
I mean, we believe.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. But we had some of these kind of baseline, kind of popular Christian notions around money and giving and tithing and things.
Yeah.
We were generally in agreement about it. But let's talk about these, what the Bible has to say here. Number one.
Proverbs 22:2, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all.
So here's the big principle governing the rest of this conversation. God made all things. God owns all things, and he gives what he wants to whom he pleases.
Yeah.
Period. So he is the arbiter of all of this. Now he has given principles too.
Yeah.
That we now say, okay, God, you've created the universe with order and with governing principles.
Value, yeah.
And he's given us those principles in his word. It's not a mystery to us.
Right.
We need to live in the fear of the Lord. We need to live with wisdom. We need to be diligent and not frivolous with our time and our money. These are principles that are baked into it. But God owns all things. He's the arbiter of all wealth. Okay. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and the world and all who live in it. That's Psalm 24:1. Now here's to those principle piece. Our ability to make a living is also directly tied to how wise or foolish we are.
Yeah.
And how wise and foolish our parents were. Okay. That's going to affect our current situation. If you had foolish parents that squandered everything versus parents who were wise and stored up wealth for the generations, as we read about in the Bible, that's going to affect our state. Okay. Also that the wisdom or the foolishness of our government, right? If they're taxing, overburdening the people.
Right. We see this throughout history.
Or if they're making the cost of living go up. Anyone heard about inflation recently? All right, that's going to all have an effect. Wisdom and foolishness, whether it's yours or others, it's going to have an effect on how this
conversation is going
to
go.
And our ability to make a living and or have discretionary income, things like that. So just to see Proverbs, look up the word sluggard, look up the word wise, look up the word fool, and start to see a theme develop, particularly around money. Okay, so that's the first governing principle, is that God owns all things and he governs it. The second one is our ability to make a living is directly tied to wisdom and foolishness. Another one is, in terms of what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Now the giving question. Christians are unequivocally commanded to give.
Yes.
To give of our resources, to give of our time, to give of our talent.
Yeah.
People will say your time, treasure, and your talent, right? Those three things. Are you supposed to figure out how to give those back to God? Because he's given them to you. We are called to give unequivocally. See, a lot of Christians maybe think in their minds, well, I'm not, that's just kind of like an old school thing, or I don't really have to do that. That's just money grubbing pastors. That's just money grubbing ministers on TV. That's just, you know, they don't need it. Look at this building. Look at, no, that doesn't matter. Like you don't want to give to bad ministries, right? But it's not just money grubbing. Like the Bible tells us to give.
Yeah.
Paul's letters are littered with this.
Right.
Okay, now the question around tithing. How is giving different from tithing? Right?
Yeah.
So tithing, it's a requirement of the Levitical law.
Right.
So if you go to passages like Leviticus 27:30, you can go to these later if you want. We're not going to read them right now. Numbers 18:26, Deuteronomy 14:24, 2 Chronicles 31:5. Maybe I'll just read the Leviticus 27:31. It says, every tithe of the land, that's a tenth. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what the word tithe means. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land, of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's and is holy to the Lord. And so what that meant was that part's not yours. Yeah, we just said it's all God's, but when you say specifically that tenth, it needs to be given to the Lord, specifically into the Levitical priesthood, so yes, that they can live by it.
Right.
Because they had no land, they had no inheritance. Right. This was how they support, and they were the ones that were in charge of the sacrifices. Mm-hmm. They were in charge of all the priestly things.
Yes.
Of course, now we don't have a Levitical priesthood as Christians. We have Christ, who is the priest,
yeah,
our mediator,
yeah,
the sacrifice. He satisfied all that law. So that's where the tithing question is answered.
Is that why we don't
tithe?
Okay.
We give, but tithing is not something that is in a New Testament concept. It's an Old Testament concept. So the question then comes up, if we're not required to give by the law, but we are required to give because of the New Testament.
Yeah.
Well, how much? Well, notice how Jesus always deals with the heart.
Yeah.
Because it's from the heart that your behavior wells up.
Yes.
So we are not given a percentage in the New Testament. Hmm. You know, so 10% tends to be kind of the thing that people default to.
Yeah.
But that's not a biblical thing for us outside of the Levitical law, which has been satisfied in Christ.
Right.
So we are called instead to give in a certain manners of giving. So generously, don't be stingy.
Yeah.
We're called to give sacrificially.
Right.
We should feel it.
Yeah.
Right. If you're a billionaire and you're giving $1,000 a year,
right,
you are not feeling that. Say you make $80,000 a year and you're giving $100 to your church every year, that I'm pretty sure you're not feeling that.
Yeah.
So the sacrificially thing matters.
Yeah.
Obediently, that has to do with listening to the Holy Spirit, being in step with the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to what God is saying in His Word, and how that's pricking your conscience to act.
Mm-hmm.
And this next one is so important. It's the final one for here is we are called to give joyfully.
Hmm.
Like you don't grit your teeth
I think it should be an indicator if you're not able to give joyfully, right? Something's going on in your heart. Something's bubbling up to the surface, like you said, and there's some sin. Yeah. Sin is there.
Yeah, because on some level, you're not trusting God with it, or you're not, if you can't give joyfully to a ministry because of what the ministry is up to, well, then don't give to that ministry.
Right.
Or find out, get your questions answered
so you can give
joyfully.
Yep.
So 10% is not the hard and fast requirement, and it's also according to your means. So that's another thing that is pretty clear in the New Testament as well, that you don't give in a way that is going to impoverish you.
Hmm. Right.
It's not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice.
Right.
So like we don't get down on somebody who's poor because they can only give $2.
Right. It's the parable of the talents. Yeah.
It's the woman with her
woman at the coin, the widow with the coin. Sorry.
So that's, again, people love the hard and fasting because they just want to check it off the list. Like, I just want to give my 10%. I want to call it good. And I want to go live with the 90% and live, however I want to live.
Yeah.
No, like that's not, we don't have that freedom. We are called to be sensitive to the Spirit, to be obedient. And in some cases to give extravagantly as the Lord would lead and to do so with a happy heart.
Right.
We know some people who have drained their entire savings accounts multiple times because they felt the Lord leading them to give towards certain projects, to give towards certain things. And they just live by faith radically. Can you imagine? Yeah. We've never done that. And I'd like to think
that if the Lord asked,
I would have the heart to hear it and we would have the courage to obey it.
Right.
And the faith to obey it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the struggle of working out your faith is you need to be ready and willing if the Lord does ask you to do that.
Right. And these are things as a young, almost married couple, like people divorce. I think one of the top reasons, one of them was money. the finances, right? It's communication.
It comes up on the form that way, but right. I think it's probably deeper than
of course, money, but of course, because yeah. money has this weird way of getting into our hearts, right?
Where your treasure is, there your heart will be.
Right.
If you're wondering where the scriptural evidence for this is, we have a number of references that we'll give you. I'll read 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 2. Here it says this, "Now concerning the collection for the saints," this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, "as I directed the churches of Galatia," so he's done this before in mm-hmm. another place, it's normative, "so that you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, that he may prosper, so as you're willing, as the Lord prospers you, mm-hmm. so that there may be no collecting when I come." So Paul's basically saying, like, we're coming, prepare a gift, because you're the way that the Lord is sustaining
yeah.
us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's commanding the churches to do this, not just one or, you know, two, but it's normative across the,
right.
the letters that Paul has written. We see evidence of this in Acts 20:35, mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 2 and 3, Romans 12:1, talking about giving yourself and present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Now, that verse is about giving all of you,
yeah,
not withholding anything, but being obedient at any cost. And then yeah. Philippians 4:17-18 are all kind of ways where this is touched upon. This again, we're in the first big bullet point here, which what does God's word have to say about giving and tithing?
Yeah. Well, and I'm just thinking of the question up here, right? So clearly I think that there might be a misunderstanding of what tithing is, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe that's one of the hangups for why he might not want to tithe, but she wants to. So defining kind of your terms with God's law, with God's truth, the Bible. So tithing was in Old Testament, just to kind of recap, I think, because she's like, we need to tithe so that we can be blessed.
We'll talk about that. And so that's another thing to make sure you're on the same page about.
Right.
So we're just looking right now at what God's word says about it. We haven't really formed a theology of giving quite okay. yet. Pardon the seminary speak. I'm not supposed to do that anymore. So not by your, but by anyway.
No, you swim in it.
So the other things that the Lord's word has said about this is we are commanded to give quietly, not in a way that feeds our ego, you know, like the yeah. Pharisees would have done.
Taking off some of that glory for yourself.
Jesus said this, says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Mm. That's kind of where that thought comes from. Like, yeah. if I give, I'll be rewarded. Mm-hmm. Okay, clear the air. Yes. Like, you should want God's blessing.
Yes.
God's blessing, to not want God's reward, is to not take him at his word.
Yeah.
And it's to be, frankly, pious. Like, you're acting as if you're somehow above like what God is. God said, give so that you can receive.
Yeah.
Give so that you can be blessed. Yeah. Now, does that translate into God is Jesus is jackpot Jesus? I put the coins in the whatever you call it, the slot machine, and if I put the coins in enough, I'm going to get a big return.
Yeah.
Is that?
I mean, that's something I felt like we operated under early on in our marriage.
We were absolutely taught that in our first church that we were, as a married couple, the church that we attended. And I can tell you wholeheartedly, that is not biblical.
I think we were the most broke then. No, we had the most money coming in, but we were still in the most debt.
We were young and foolish and all that sort of stuff. But now, but you can go on. There's ruts on both sides of
yes,
this road.
Yes, yes, yes.
You can say, like, it doesn't matter what I give. God doesn't care. He's not going to give anything back. He doesn't bless people. He doesn't provide in that way. He's not beholden to me. Okay, all those things, like, he's not beholden to you.
No.
But his word he's a God of his word. And he said that the Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Right.
What we need to hash out is what the reward means.
Reward and blessing,
because
yeah.
we will read that sometimes and think.
We'll just read into.
If I.
Yeah.
Then now I'm somehow coercing God to give me what I think he needs to give me because I want the 100-fold return.
Yeah.
I need 10 grand. So here's $100.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. So I'm going to, you know, I'm banking on you owe it to me. Mm. Right. That's not biblical. So, that's this final point is that yeah. those who do give will be blessed, but we need to be careful to say how that blessing should or will look.
Yeah. It's good.
And that's what you're touching on with this, yeah. this young lady. She wants to give so that they'll be blessed. That's a good thing to want.
Yeah.
Now, as long as you understand that God's blessing may not be in heaven.
Yes.
It may be something that you never see in this life. It very well could be something here in this life.
Yeah, I do think that there's blessings and things that we oftentimes miss, you know, and we don't see. And so some of that, I think, is the Lord lifting our eyes and teaching us what blessing is, what it looks like, what it means. I mean, blessings are not just, the Bible says that children are a blessing. Children and being a parent can be tough some days. Like, it takes work to steward the blessing, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It takes work, and work can be a joy, and you can find delight and value in it. But a blessing is not just ease and pleasure and money, right?
Right. Jesus said this in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. It will be poured onto your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
I just see everybody getting out of their seats, getting excited. Just kidding.
So is Jesus saying that, like, you know, what Jesus is illustrating there is a spiritual truth that has earthly and heavenly implications. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And the shaking down, pressed together, like, that's not like, it's not just a material thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's never that. I'm just saying that's not solely what Jesus is talking about. And so we need to be discerning about these things. And the heart is what Christ is after.
Yeah.
And so when we give freely to him, because he's our King and our Lord, and it's out of pure worship and gratitude and thankfulness that we give, that's the heart Christ is after.
Yeah. And it's a visual.
And you know, the thing about that heart,
it's a complete visual.
The thing that about that heart is, you trust God so much that he could give or he could take away, and it wouldn't have any effect on your affections for him.
Goodness.
And instead, either way, you're going to give glory and worship to him.
Amen.
That's where our hearts need to be, friends. When we talk about money as believers and as couples, when you come together around this topic. So, that's the first big bullet here. That's the longest one. What does God's word have to say? Now, you as a married couple, what do you actually believe functionally?
Yeah.
And so it may or may not be aligned with scripture.
If he's a newer Christian, like she said, she may have some anchored beliefs that may not be rightly anchored. And he may not have those beliefs, or maybe he has some different ones that are the way they should go. So, I don't know what those are, but clearly they're not aligned.
Right. And so she may be
for the wrong reason, right? And wrong reasons probably.
So he may think giving's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Not needed, not commanded. Don't need to do it because the pastor has plenty of money and they don't need my $200 a month or whatever. Sure. She may be thinking, if we don't give, we're going to go bankrupt.
Right.
If we don't give, we're going to fall under a curse, or God's going to stop blessing us, and this tap, whatever it is going to shut off.
Mm.
And so if whatever you believe, you need to work that out and align it with God's word. And does your giving affect God's blessing? Well, I will say this, your obedience for sure does.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we can't expect God to bless us if we are neglecting our prayer life.
Yeah.
You know, Paul even goes so far to say that if you are not treating your wife well, like, your prayers will be inhibited. Like, God will not hear your prayers.
Right. There's an obedience factor for sure.
So, like, and all throughout scripture, it's, hey, you want blessing, be obedient.
Yeah.
Choose life.
Yeah.
Obey. You want cursing? Keep doing what you think is right.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so
keep acting.
I'll say that it is tied to our obedience and to God in some regard. Now, I always have to put these caveats because we're so quick to fall off these cliffs. Are we guaranteed that are you guaranteed that if you obey God, then you're somehow going to be in the top 1% of income earners in the U.S. or that if you're an impoverished nation, that somehow, you know, that's the prosperity gospel that is sold and it's a bill of goods. Obedience to God, the blessing that you get is God himself. That is the riches.
Yes.
And when we all get to heaven one day, we're going to look ourselves in the mirror and look at each other and say, man, how grossly did we underestimate the blessing it is to have God himself? And we saw all the things that God made and we forgot that he himself is the blessing.
Yes. Yes.
So we keep that in view. Mm. So you might be thinking, goodness, why did they just go through all that? Like, my wife is thinking right now. You know why, Selena?
Why? Tell me.
Because what we believe about these things is always 100% of the time going to fuel our behavior.
Yes. 100%.
So if you don't actually know what God said, we could say true things. And you might just believe them as
we could say things that sound true.
And you know what? But that will not sustain you. Yeah. If you know what God said and the Holy Spirit is enlivening you through his word, you will be ready to obey for a lifetime, not just for the next couple of weeks.
And it's for freedom that he sets you free. Amen. Right?
So marriage, how do you approach finances in your marriage? So she mentioned that she said she wouldn't want to be the only one tithing. Now this begs the question is, in what world would that happen if you weren't separating your finances?
Right.
How can you only tithe unless you have your own money and he has his money?
Right. Yeah.
And so should husbands and wives join their finances together?
Yes.
Quickly. Yes. Just.
You join your bodies together in one flesh.
Yeah.
Why should money be any different?
Right. And where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Yes. If you are one, why would you not do this? What reasons would you have for having his and hers money?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'll pay half the mortgage. You'll pay half the grocery bill. I'll pay.
Yeah.
Like, so how's that even work? Yeah, you cover groceries, I'll cover gas this month.
You're just roommates. It just chips away at your relationship, chips away at your unity. It chips away at your covenant and your ability to just be one, your oneness,
right?
If money is so attached to your heart, or it's one of those things that can so quickly just grab a hold of your affections, then why would you keep that separate from your spouse? There's no good reason. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Now in terms of discretionary income budgets and things like that, hey, you know, we get a kind of fun money or whatever, and you kind of have whatever. That's for you to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, for us, we just talk about anything over a certain dollar amount usually.
Yeah,
and as
our lives have changed, the dollar amount has changed.
Yeah.
We have some months where it's like, hey, tighten the belt. Other months where we don't talk about it as much.
Yeah.
So that's for you to figure out. But the spirit of unity in marriage, I think it's a no-brainer. You need to keep your accounts together, transparency. That way there's no secret spending.
Yeah.
And you're moving toward the same goal. You're saving together. You're giving together. You're doing it together.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And don't have this entitlement issue too. I mean, I think that we were both making actually quite a bit of money when we were first married.
Relatively speaking. You act like we were this.
No, but.
We were dual income, no kids.
It felt like a lot of money to us.
Right.
And I think that there was this kind of like, at least with me, I'm like, well, I make this much money so I can buy horse stuff and I can get
a
horse.
That's why we had no money.
And then we had no money. No, but that's the reason. Like you kind of get this like, well, I make enough and it doesn't matter. He doesn't really care if I do this. And, you know, one late night Amazon purchase after another starts to add up. Right. So it's like, it's that heart orientation. It's what is your heart oriented in your, how is your heart oriented in your spending?
Yeah. 100%. And I will say that if one of you is a higher earner, you don't hold that over their head.
Like, I try not to do that to you.
Yes. It's you together. Like everything I earn is ours.
Yeah.
Everything you earn is ours. That's just how it works.
It's mine.
And I'm not saying like I've earned money and therefore you have to. No, like we all do this together. There's no, what fruitfulness is there to be had by throwing it in each other's face? None. Okay. So
none fruitfulness.
Now, if you disagree on these things, you need to get on the same page about it. Yeah. How do you go about doing that? And friends, the right answers in these cases are often annoying because they're simple to understand, but hard to do.
Yeah.
And so here's the annoying truths about what to do if you disagree. Understand what God says about giving and tithing.
Yes.
Two, gain unity about what God says about giving and tithing.
Yes.
And to do that, you need to talk about it. And you need to gain unity around your need and desire to conform to what God says.
Yeah.
Do you want to be people that obey God? Do you want to be people who are set apart and therefore doing things that maybe don't make sense to from a worldly standpoint?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to be the kinds of people who are seeing God's mission advance by way of the craft he's given you, the income he's given you?
Yeah.
Is that who you want to be? Okay. Now act accordingly.
Yeah.
So you agree to a plan. You give what you can. You do so obediently and not pragmatically.
Hmm.
We don't give because it's easy, because it works, because whatever. We give because we have a God who gave.
Yeah.
And we are the recipients of the greatest, grandest, most extravagant, most costly gift of all. And that's the life of Christ himself. He's given it on our behalf, which is a beautiful segue into how we like to end these episodes. If you don't know who Jesus is, he was the gift of God for eternal life, given to sinners that they might be saved out of their sin, brought from death into life because of what Christ did on the cross and the fact that he didn't stay dead, but he was resurrected and now reigns at the right hand of the Father. Amen. He is the gift given to you. And it is, here's the thing, that grace, that gift was free to you, but it was not without cost. Mm. You are not saved by your works, but you absolutely are saved by work. And it's by Christ's work that we are saved.
Amen.
And that's the gift that we're talking about here. So we want you to understand that. We want you to embrace that. And we want you to live in light of that. So to that end, we say, read your Bible, find a friend to read the Bible with you. Say, who's Jesus? Can you show me? Mm-hmm. Find a church that preaches out of the Bible, because we say the Bible because that's how we know who God is. Otherwise, yep. We don't have any way of knowing.
Yeah.
And if you have a hard time with either of those things, you can't find a friend or a church to talk to, go to thenewsisgood.com, and that should help you understand these truths, but also find a church, hopefully in your area.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are good. You have given us so much from the very bottoms of the soles of our feet to the tops of our heads. We are awash in your gifts, your blessing, your grace over our lives, Lord. So thank you for that. Thank you for giving. Help us to see money rightly so that we might not be miserly with what you've given us, that we might not be faithless with the income that you've given us, Lord, but that we would be faithful people, generous people, because we have a faithful, generous God. I pray for the couples who are lacking unity in this area, they would find it. They would go to your word, not to their own minds, but to your mind and what you've given to us in your word. I pray for couples that are just struggling in general, that you would strengthen them, embolden them to fight harder for their marriage, to fight hard for one another, that you might be glorified in the victories that they would experience because of your grace and your goodness in their lives. Help them, give them special grace to work through whatever they're working through. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, thank you for joining us. This has been a little bit longer of an episode, but that's totally fine. Right, Selena?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll just end it there. This episode of Fierce Marriage is
in the can.
We'll see you again in about 7 days. So until next time,
stay fierce.